Doctor grimaced and wrote a score on the paper. 100. We hooted and cheered and slapped Glass on the back until he begged for mercy. 100? 100? Jeez, that's unbelievable, Coop shouted. I had to take it 3 times and use cheat notes to finally get a 70. We coughed to cover Coop's words as the desk clerk leaned forward, interested. That Coop is such a joker, Bobster said, grabbing Coop by the neck and herding him out of the office. I knuckled Coop's head. You big ox! That's a good way to get your license jerked. How can you be so dumb? Coop screwed up his face as if his feelings were hurt, thought a minute, and grinned. Years and years of practice, he said. Come on, guys, let's go celebrate Simon's victory. Yo! Yo, we answered. Simon paused, looking at us, flushed and smiling. He lifted one raised fist into the air. Yo! He shouted and turned in a circle, raising both fists and jumping. Yo! Later we sat in the pizza palace, staring down at Simon's authentic driver's license. That's great, Glass. Now we can put the rest of the plan into action. Rest of the plan? Simon asked the question for all of us. What rest? I asked. You wanted Simon to be popular, and he is. Nope, Rob said. It's guesswork now. Is he or isn't he? We need a way to keep score, a way to prove that Simon is now one of the chosen. There's no way to do that, Bob said. Coop looked up from his plate. Do you say, hey, guys, vote? Is Glass popular or not? Rob stared at Coop like he had grown another head. Coop? You're a genius. Huh? Coop asked. Class favorite, Rob said. Huh? Glass said. What's class favorite mean? Rob asked, excitement rising in his tone. It doesn't say you're ambitious or athletic. It means you're liked. He looked around, his gaze touching each of us, pulling us in. It's our scorecard. Simon Glass is going to be the next class favorite. Coop smiled and nodded, Rob's excitement fueling his own. That's cool. Glass, you've put up with lots of crap, and standing up there with the faves would be like, I don't know, the turds all apologizing or something. He raised his mug. All right. Bob raised his mug, too. Hey, as long as I'm voted most handsome, I can get with Glass being the fave. I met Rob's stare. You'll be class favorite this year. It's a done deal. It felt like his eyes were boring straight through the back of my head. I want Glass to win. I didn't understand. Why was this thing with Simon so damned important? What hole was in Rob that only the triumph of Simon Glass would patch? I told you before, me getting class fave is too easy. It will be more fun for Simon to win. Rob raised his mug to Coop's and Bob's. To fun, to power, to us. I lifted mine and Simon hoisted his. We clanked them together. To Simon Glass, our class favorite, Rob said. We all drank. Rob returned his mug to the table. Okay, the man is mobile. Now we can set him up for a date to the favorite's dance. He has to have the perfect date, Rob drawled as he eyed me. Right young. I have to go meet Rana, I said. She wants me to proofread her research paper. Sure thing. Have fun. Rob's smile didn't make it to his eyes. Christmas break approached. Bob's family was skiing in Breckenridge. Coop wrangled a job assisting the weight trainer at a fitness club. Rana and her family were heading to Illinois to visit her grandmother. And Rob just said that he was leaving town. The day we got out of school, Simon delivered a kick to Lance's nuts. At lunch, the cafeteria was louder than normal with pre-Christmas mania. Bobster and this week's girlfriend, Coop and Rana and I headed for the large table that Rob and Glass had staked out. Rana, over here by Simon. I need to confab with Young. Rana hesitated, looking at me for some signal, but Rob got up, slick as an eel, and took Rana's tray. He placed it next to Simon's and pulled out a chair. Entertain the Glass man, darling. Rob sat back down and gestured for me to sit beside him. Coop, do you want my cake? Rob asked. Nope. The whole group stared. Coop was refusing food again. What are you staring at? I'm cutting down is all. I need to stay in shape. I'll take it, Simon said. Glassman, don't do that, Coop warned. You stopped running, and now you're off your diet. You're gaining back the little bit of weight you lost. It's not a problem, Coop, Simon said, waving his fork. If people like me now, it's because I'm funny, not for my body. You can't change the plan, Rob said. Simon's eyes snapped, and I saw the spark more than flicker, then fan into a distinct flame. Simon cleared his throat. Fine, Rob. Whatever you say. I don't want your cake. He got up. Where are you going? Rob's voice was a fist. To get a candy bar. Want one? And Simon smiled wide and sunny as he strolled away. Rob shrugged. To each his own. Rana, Coop, and Bob started chattering in relief, so I was the only one who saw Rob plant his fork flat on his cake and smash it. Simon returned, munching a chocolate bar. Eyes right, everybody. Time for the show. Our heads turned to the door. Dallas Alice entered in all her anorectic glory, bearing a pink, three-layered cake. Plump strawberries encircled the top and base. She blushed as she paraded through the tables and set the cake down with a flourish in front of Lance Ansley. You could have heard a mouse fart. Lance didn't look at Alice. He purpled in combined embarrassment and rage. What the hell is this? It wasn't the reaction Alice expected. Everyone could read in her face that she finally knew she'd been tricked. Her eyes dropped to the floor and she mumbled, "It's for you, Lance." Lance put two fingers against the plate and pushed the cake across the table. "I don't want your damn cake, Alice." He paused, looking around at the goggle-eyed watchers. "Get lost." Alice wilted, her mouth drooping into a quivering line. "It's for you, Lance. You said you like surprises. You said you like strawberries." She plucked at her hair and smoothed her dress. "It was all in the letter you wrote me." Someone tittered in a falsetto squeak, "In the letter you wrote me." Another comedian piped up with, "Oh, my." Lance lost it. He rose slowly like an engine building steam. His voice was harsh and strangled. "Alice, you dumb twitch. I didn't write you a letter. I didn't send you balloons or a card or wish you happy birthday. Somebody is playing a joke and you're a fool. Nobody would ever send you a letter, Alice. Nobody. You're a dog. An ugly dog." Alice froze. I think she wanted to disappear. "You and your crappy cake make me want to puke." With that, Lance shoved the cake across the table. It teetered on the edge, then flipped over, splatting in a gooey lump on Alice's shoes. She didn't move. She stood, head up, tears sluicing down her face. Lance stormed across the cafeteria. "Asshole," someone called out. Bob stood on his chair and held up his hand. He pulled his ring off his finger, then pushed it back on. He did it again. The crowd cheered. Glass munched his Snickers as he watched Lance shove out the door. Simon never so much as glanced at Alice. Rana scraped back her chair and navigated the path to Alice. She put an arm across the tall girl's back and whispered to her. Rana led her away, whispering encouragement as Alice plodded zombie-like alongside. "Why'd you set her up like that?" I asked Simon. "Nobody set her up. This was all about Lance. I didn't make him do anything. I just gave him the rope to hang himself," Glass said. "Glass, you aren't getting the point," Bob said. "Lance needs to know it's you. You gotta go mano a mano with the guy. Until you use your fists with him, you're still a pussy." Simon shot Bob a look of hatred as quick as a snake bite. Then he smiled and got up, crumbling the candy wrapper in one hand. He tossed it at the garbage can where it bounced on the rim, rocked, and dropped to the floor. "Almost there." Simon stepped out into the hall. Simon called that night while I was at Rana's. She held the phone while she played with my earlobe. "Sure, we'll be there in a bit." She plunked down into my lap. "That was Simon. He has pizza and videos. The rest of your buddies are on their way." "I'm past uninterested," I said, nuzzling the back of her neck. "But I want to see his house," Rana said. "And Mr. Simon Glass is going to get a piece of my mind about Alice." That was fine by me, so we jumped into the car. When Rana and I arrived, Glass's parents were walking out the door. I introduced Rana. Neither Mr. nor Mrs. Glass offered to shake hands. "We're off to the club for the evening," Mrs. Glass said. "We're awfully glad Simon is making friends these days. But a house full of teenagers..." She shrugged her elegant shoulders and her diamond earrings twinkled in the porch light. Rana and I made nice and said goodbye. Mr. Glass escorted his wife to their gray Mercedes. "Wow, aren't they fun," Rana said. "I met them once before. Trust me, they were bubbly tonight." "Poor Simon," Rana said. She looked up at me with an aha expression. "That's it. He doesn't know how to be nice to people." She looked back over her shoulder. "He couldn't learn it from those two." Simon appeared at the door and ushered us in. Rob was with Blair. Coop's and Bob's girlfriends had already left town for the holidays. Simon gave Blair and Rana a guided tour of the house. "Hey," Bob said, peering into the refrigerator. "There's no beer." "Nope. Had to wait until Simon's parents left," Rob said. "He doesn't have a fake ID anyway." Bob was our designated booze buyer because he had the supposedly lost copy of his brother's ID. "That's cool, as long as he's paying," Bob said. "I am." Simon appeared behind me. He handed Bob some bills. "Can you go soon? The pizza should be here in 30 minutes. "Done." Bob shoved the money into his pocket. "Back in a few." He headed out. "What videos did you get, Simon?" Blair asked. Simon led Blair and the others back to his study. Rana grabbed my hand and held me back. "Is this the saddest place you've ever seen?" "Sad?" She leaned back against the counter and folded her arms across her chest. "A decorator bedroom and study that doubles as an electronics store?" "So?" "There's nothing personal in the whole house. It's just a big catalog of stuff." She nibbled a fingernail. "I was going to get in his face about Alice, but no." "Glass was shitty to her, and she didn't deserve it," I said. "Yeah, I know." She crossed her arms again. "But this place gets to me." "I guess it gets to him, too. I kissed Rana on the nose. Go see what Simon rented. It might be a math video or something. Are you coming? My car is blocking the brown dog. I'll take Bob to get the beer. She went toward the back of the house, and I went to the front. I stepped out onto the porch and saw Bob leaning against his truck. As I got closer, Bob turned toward me, and the porch light caught his face. He was crying.
What?
Give me a minute, Bob said. I waited. Bob wiped his nose and face on his sleeve and tried to get in control. He stuck out his right hand. His senior ring was gone.
I don't... Who?
I came out here. When I was looking for the right key, somebody grabbed me from behind. He jerked me behind the shrubs.
What? Who?
I opened my mouth, but Bob put out a hand, warning me to stop.
Lance.
He said he'd ruin my face if I tried to move. He wanted my ring. Bob slumped. And I gave it to him. Okay, let's go.
Where?
Bob didn't seem interested.
To the police.
No.
No? The guy robbed you. You can get him for assault. You can...
No, I can't. He sounded tired rather than mad.
Don't you get it? He wanted that ring to get back at me.
If I tell anybody, the whole school is going to know that I gave it to him without a fight. I couldn't say anything. This picture Bob had of himself, this brawling, macho guy. We all knew it was shit. But Bob didn't.
Okay, Bob. Nobody hears it from me, I said.
Bob pounded the truck door with both fists.
And I called Glass a pussy for not whipping Ansley's ass.
Shit. Come on, I said. Let's go get the beer. Bob was quiet the rest of the evening and left early. Nobody noticed the ring. As I drove Rana home, she took off her shoes and pressed her feet against the dash. Navy blue socks with little red stars.
I don't get this Simon thing.
What do you mean? She had both hands on her knees, scratching her fingertips against the denim of her jeans.
About Rob and Simon and class favorite.
I didn't hear that as a question. I waited.
You said that it will make Rob feel in control?
Right. That he can manipulate people to vote for the prize putts, I said. She sighed, pulled her legs in from the dash, and crossed them yoga fashion. She gazed out the passenger window.
It makes me wonder.
She stopped.
Wonder what?
She turned to look at me.
Don't you think that...
She shook her head and stared back out the window. The tires ticked against the pavement. When she spoke again, her voice was so soft that I almost didn't catch her words.
Instead of making Rob more, doesn't it just make all of us less?
Christmas Eve afternoon, Coop called.
Young, Simon wants to go to the Yellow Rose for burgers. He says he'll pay.
I was going stir crazy.
Sure, when should I pick you up?
Glass says he'll drive.
His parents letting him use their car?
Guess so. We'll be by in half an hour.
I changed my sweats for jeans and was shrugging into my jacket when I heard a car horn. I hurried down the shining oak stairs, over the elegant but never ostentatious oriental rug, and out the door. I was looking down, trying to navigate the zipper on my jacket as I stepped onto the porch.
Look at this, Young. It's Glass's Christmas present.
I walked over to see Simon behind the wheel of a spit-shined, brand-spankin'-new Firebird. Burgundy, leather seats, compact disc, 5-speed. It was seriously spectacular. Glass grinned.
What do you think?
I thought that Simon Glass in the driver's seat of that car was like seeing a pig on a throne. Great car, Glass, I managed, crawling into the back seat. You must have been a really good boy for Santa to bring you this. I leaned between the seats to see the dash. Cruise control, intermittent wipers, sunroof, and even a radar detector. Does it wipe your ass for you, too? For all I know, it might. I haven't read the manual yet. There's still some mystery buttons. I leaned back, wedging my knees between the front and back seat. Coop punched buttons on the dash, changing stations, turning on fog lights, ejecting CDs, and rotating the side mirrors. Glass downshifted, smooth as a cat's whisker, as he negotiated a quick left turn. It struck me that there wasn't a whisper of the button.